Hello everyone, it's Richard Lewis here again with another video. Today, as I promised on Twitter a couple of days ago, I'm going to be talking about the recent PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds Invitational that took place at Gamescom and kind of what I made of it as a spectacle overall and some thoughts about some areas for improvement maybe from a broadcast perspective, from an esports perspective. Speaking as somebody that's been involved with esports for over a decade and has kind of seen new ones come and go and fail and succeed. So first off, let's do some positives. You know, I got to say, I think overall Battlegrounds is in a really good place. You've got a lot of players, you know, the numbers keep going up and up and up, and rightly so. It's a very easy game to get into. It's very accessible, but it's got depth, so it rewards multiple plays and hours invested. But the one thing that really stands out overall is kind of the level of engagement for people watching online streams and tournaments, which is very high as a percentage. Now, you might not feel that way if you're new to kind of esports and how it works, but let me tell you, it is a percentage, it's incredibly high. Let's look at it this way. You know, you think about the number of players that Overwatch has, and you think about the viewing numbers they're getting at tournaments right now, like even the highest is kind of in line with what we're seeing from PUBG Battlegrounds, despite a much smaller player base. And it was one of the big problems with the League of Legends as well. League of Legends, Riot Games, they'd be out there talking about how they break all these records and we've got all these, you know, huge player base. It's the most played PC game in the world. And then you would turn on the LCS and you would have 200,000 people watching it, which is a tiny fraction from the number of people who play the game. So the key in esports in terms of audience is conversion. An incredibly good start for Battlegrounds. I mean, when I turned off the stream, I think it was at like 162,000. Now, maybe some might say, "Oh, but would you get that? You know, if it was a weekly thing, if it wasn't special, if it wasn't." We don't know yet. But I think there's a lot of positive suggestions that you know, I think are going to make sure that we do see the growth in the scene, and we've got great characters and great players, and esports organizations seem very happy to get into it because it represents a very solid return of investment, and you get to work alongside a developer who's actually open to being part of esports and open to being included in esports organizations without wanting to control everything. It's the rarest of things. So I thought it was a very good start, but I got to say that there's some stuff that became apparent right from the get-go for me, and that was, first of all, the format. It cannot exist as an esport in its current state. The idea of bringing 80 players into anything, this is great. I mean, this is like the Royal Rumble of wrestling, if you're a wrestling fan, and that's awesome. You're a big fan of the Royal Rumble, and it's a nice change. But if it was the Royal Rumble every week, you'd be bored off your fucking tits. You wouldn't want to watch it again. So this format is great for like a one-off kind of marquee, once a year, special event. But having this as the regular kind of way that you want the game to be broadcast, absolutely not. 80 players is too many. We'll talk about some of the technical problems because actually, you know, I know some people who worked on the broadcast who kind of let me know a few things. So we'll talk about that in a second. But just the idea of the logistics of it. I remember when Team Fortress 2, way back when, which I was involved with when it first came out, you know, there was all this, it wasn't really an argument, but there was a discussion about 8v8 and 6v6. And eventually when 6v6 became the prevalent competitive way to play, even then, esports organizers were like, oh, an extra player, it's all the extra cost, all the extra logistics of getting people out. Too many people creates too many logistical problems, and it's great, it's wonderful that you can do it, but ultimately, there's too much information you're trying to condense into a broadcast, there's too much going on, and it's just not fun, it's not viable. How the fuck do I tell a story as a broadcaster, which is the key thing here, narratives, which were absent from the broadcast. How do I tell a story if the format is this? There's 80 people, and one of the people who we might think is the favorite might get super unlucky, die immediately, and then we've just wasted all of that time building up their story. So what I like to see is kind of small, a smaller version of the map, Even just the ability to cordon stuff off like you can in custom games or whatever, and a fewer number of players. So there is actually the opportunity to kind of drop individuals in, and they've got time to gear up and get out there, and we can tell a story and build up, and each gunfight becomes significant. You're not just watching people drop like flies in the early stages, waiting for it to get to the last five, because I think the pacing's off with that. I don't think it makes for good, I work for a TV company now, so I'm thinking about it from what makes good TV, right? So there's that. As well as that, I think there's some how do you want to say format issues. We all know what happened during the broadcast, and I'll bring up a screenshot of it for you now. Yes, the Watergate, dare I say it, where because of the nature of the game and how it works mechanically, this is actually a smart high-level play to stay on the edge of the map and in a place where you cannot be shot, you cannot be aggressed upon, even if it's at the expense of you not being able to be an aggressor. So you can see all of these pros here swimming around in the water. They're not able to shoot, they're not able to punch each other, and everyone was laughing. And it was kind of honestly a little bit embarrassing. I wouldn't want this if I was the developer. I wouldn't want to see this kind of embarrassing moment in one of my marquee tournaments, because it just makes the game look a bit silly. And again, understand it from a perspective of how the game is sold, how the story is told. What the commentators are going to be saying is, oh, this is this game, it's the battle to the death, you get guns, you go out there, it's high level play, use your terrain, all of this. And if you want, you can just hide in the water and swim around for a bit and no one can fucking shoot you as long as you're under the waves, and you can't shoot anybody else. And if that circle had shrunk a certain way, if it didn't go back to the shore, fuck me, it would have been unbelievably embarrassing and boring. What would have happened? You would have been waiting for a circle to shrink and people to kind of push each other out and drown. It would have been absolutely terrible. So that's something they need to think about mechanically in the game as well. And I think giving tournament organizers better controls, better tools to be able to mitigate things like this, to be able to take out those variables that do make for stupid situations that wouldn't make sense to a casual audience, that honestly don't make sense in a way in the game. It could be something as simple as like, oh, if you're in the water, you can stab each other or something. It could be a simple fix like that. It could be something more profound that, okay, I guess maybe water is a mechanic that we don't want in the esports version, and we create a whole new map. I mean, there's so many different approaches to fixing this, but it is something that's got to be fixed, I think. Because again, if that situation had occurred where the circle shrinks into the water and everyone's just swimming around and nobody can kill each other, you've completely killed the broadcast as a spectacle, and you've turned it into an inadvertent comedy, haven't you? So that was something that immediately leapt out to me. But overall, I thought it was good. I thought there was kind of opportunities that were maybe a little bit missed. It was a shame that we couldn't get more emergent storytelling in there. This mishmash of influencers and high-level competitors brought together, that wasn't particularly developed, I thought. And there was so many names where you're like, oh, I know that person. Oh, they're dead immediately, and you didn't even see how they died or whatever. Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem moving forward. But let's talk about the technical setup, because as I said, I asked around, used my connections to talk to people working on the broadcast, and I'll tell you right now, this is another reason why it can't exist in the format it's in. This is a fucking nightmare, guys. I mean, listen to this technical setup. You can see here, right? So they had 80 feeds, okay? 80 feeds, which were direct from each of the player computers, and it was video only, so there was no contextual audio or anything. And they had a total of five observers who were watching 16 feeds each, basically. So that right there is I'm sure you can understand that that's unacceptable. That's not going to work, and that's too much information being processed by too few people. And this is why I saw it quite often, actually, during the course of the broadcast, where Pansy did a great job. Was kind of like, okay, let's not look at this now, right? Let's move away, because it would just be some guy just lying prone for a little bit, having a rest, eating a fucking packed lunch or whatever. And there was actual shit going on in the kill feed. Now, this is very hard to coordinate. You've got all this stuff going on this map. And the kill feed's live and the information's live. There's not even any sound. You're looking at 16 separate screens and you've got to pick what's the most relevant. And we can only show one thing on the broadcast. There didn't seem to be a lot of screen within a screen stuff. This kind of cries out for split screen, a split screen approach to the broadcast, because you can have two hugely significant things within the game context going on simultaneously. Now, because it was all mixed live as well, you didn't get the replays. So there were so many times where, like, oh my god, there was this like mad three-way gunfight, and you just came at the back end of it when people were already dead, and that's no good. So the audio is provided by one of the in-client observers, and they have a free cam which lets them move around, which is very, these are very basic tools. So in order for the broadcast to show a point of view feed from a player, an in-client observer has to spectate the player manually that they want to show on the broadcast. And the observers then have to select the feed to send it to production, and they've got to let the client, the in-client observer, know so he can communicate with production. So you've immediately created this convoluted chain of command just to get that one shot of someone's point of view. You've created this incredibly convoluted situation communication chain. And as we all know, the longer a chain of communication, the easier it is for it to break down. So then that, and that's just to get the audio as well, because obviously they've only got one audio feed and they need to take the audio feed from the POV feed and sync it up. And while that's going on, the director of the overall show, who's trying to put all of these like 80 different viewpoints in, you've got to then instruct another technician to get the POV and sync up the audio. That's a separate task. So when you're doing all of that, this just creates this massive delay. That's why so much of the action was missed. I probably think it might even have been as high. I don't even know. I don't want to give a percentage, but when I was watching it, I felt like we missed a very high percentage of kills, which isn't good. That's the action. That's the meat of the broadcast. That's what shows off the player's skill. And again, you can mitigate that immediately just by not having fucking 80 people. Again, it sounds like it's a great spectacle, but actually it makes for a poorer broadcasting experience. Then, on top of that, the point of view observers, they don't have what's going out live to the audience at home. They've got no way of knowing. So they don't know what's being shown on stream, and they cannot switch perspectives. So they just say, oh, you got to put this in. But it might not be appropriate. It might be over something else that's way more important and way more significant. It was crazy. I think they also said something about they let the players stream their game live on their own streams once they were like dead. And then, I don't know, it was a bit of a shit show. But I asked, like, look, if you could change things, what would you do? And the general consensus was that in an ideal world, they would get a delay with an in-client observer running live, and then they would have access to the kill feed, so you could prepare a point of view in advance. You know, we've done things like this in Counter-Strike before. But basically, you know what's coming, so you can be there to capture the action in all of its glory. And this is a common technique we use in TV. I mean, you know, we've got two feeds running. So you've got the live feed, and if you miss something, you've got a delayed secondary feed. So you know it's coming. You go to the delayed secondary feed, you catch it with all of the angles and information you want, and then you show the people at home that as a replay, which works way better, I think. Also, as well, you would need 80 audio tracks on each of the POV feeds just to remove that problem of having to get a separate person to sync up the sound. They said that was a huge ball ache, and that led to a lot of the delays. And the broadcast director controls what is shown on screen, but they used a director who maybe didn't have the extensive game knowledge, shall we say. Somebody who was very technical, knew how to get the shots and click fingers and order people around and do it all expediently, but certainly wasn't a high-level Battlegrounds player, which was another thing that I think you've got to bring in. It's a tough one. We certainly don't do that at Turner when we show TV. But I will say this, our Emmy-nominated director who works on the show has installed Counter-Strike at home and played it. So, and I'm sure he'd like to be a high-level player. he's always talking about it. Whatever. So this is all, on top of this setup is unbelievably expensive. I mean, I heard rumors that it was running at like $300,000 as a setup, you know, absolutely crazy. And if you look at what you got out of the overall broadcast, what you actually got to watch, what the experience was like, that money wasn't well reflected, if we're being honest about it. There were a lot of opportunities to do things differently. And there's a few little bugs as well. Like, apparently when they were changing to a player POV on the in-client observer, if the player is dead, the game would just crash, and that would create these stalls and issues. So that's something that on the developer side they need to work on. And also, when you change to a free cam hotkey, if you want to look at buildings, the buildings take 3 seconds to load in, so you get these weird glitches. I think that's like maybe the root of this glitch that we've seen being used. And if you select a city hotkey, you've got 3 seconds of no buildings, and if you select a hotkey that doesn't exist, whole game crashes and you've got to set the stream up again. So there were a lot of technical problems and a lot of frustrations. But for me, I think you can overcome all of that. We went through a similar experience bringing Counter-Strike to a TV audience on E-League. And certainly this is the fundamental problem you have with every eSport. How can you broadcast it? How can you show it to the people at home and make them understand it and make the action intuitive to follow around the map? And honestly, that's the hurdle you've got to overcome. I will say as well, there was a lot of different modes of play there. You had the solo and the duos, and then the duo first-person perspective and squad mode and all of this. And I kind of feel that you need to focus on one. I like the idea of it being a solo mode, but I think squads could work. I think duo would just be like, I don't know. I think that's going to be a niche thing. There's not really a lot of that in esports. You don't really see like 2v2s and 3v3s kind of take off anymore. It never really worked in any of the games that I've certainly followed. So I think having it as a solo game is good because you get to build up the story about the individual, tell their story, do some interviews, watch how they get on in a game. And a squad could work because we're used to team-based esports now. So you have all of that going on, and I think this is great. This is the experimental stage. But now I think we need to start channeling our knowledge about what we know about what works in esports to fixing this. And I certainly hope that the developers are going to be open to those suggestions. Because honestly, it was a good start. I thought it was a good tournament. I had a lot of fun watching it. But the broadcast experience overall was poor. The storytelling overall was poor. And I think these problems exist within the format, and I think that's what we need to tweak if we want to make this a successful esport moving forward. Because we know a lot of people say it's esports ready, this is the meme, this is the joke, and real talk, it's not there yet, but that's not necessarily a reflection of the game. There's a few things that need to come out, like the water thing I mentioned, a few bugs that we all know about when we play the game. But honestly, it's deciding what is the definitive format for entertainment, skill ceiling, audience appreciation, storytelling, and everything else. So those are some thoughts. I don't know if this is useful to anyone or if anyone gives a shit, but I thought I'd put it out there anyway, and perhaps maybe the developers get to see this or whatever, because I don't know if they'll talk to me after I said he shouldn't got upset about the window kicking thing. But we'll wait and see. But anyway, to all of you who watched the video, thanks very much for your attention, and I will see you on the next one.